I do have one of those, and it's right by my door.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm so glad you accepted our honorary membership.
Thank you. But I never remember to reach up and touch it, which I've got to start doing.
Yeah, maybe you could do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Martin Luther said that we need to remind ourselves daily of our baptism, that we need to daily drown the old Adam, drown the old Eve. And later on it was said, I think Gerhard Ferdy said, we need to do that because the old Adam is a really good swimmer. Our sinful self is a really good swimmer.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I'm looking at the difference between what you actually look like. Actually, I can look at you. This is kind of a nice resemblance of you, except you shaved. I'm kind of glad that you did. That's good.
Well,
but you look more like yourself here on the right than on the left. And we've been talking all December about the things that are associated with this character on the left who just bears a very, very faint resemblance to you.
Yeah.
I've been saying they're very, 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 very distant cousins. Yes. But I want to take up today the magical qualities that are associated with this guy.
Oh.
So, you know, it's said that he can fly around the whole world in one evening in a sleigh drawn by flying deer, right? And has a present for every good little girl and boy and comes down the chimney. Do you do that?
No. You look like I came down the chimney. You talked also about icons and idols. And I think what's happened in talking about the meaning behind St. Nicholas as a person of care and concern for the children and for the weak and the needy, we have lost that, and now we point to Santa Claus, and he's a symbol of consumerism. They use my image all over the place to sell things, and I was never, ever any good at selling anything. I'd sooner give it something away than sell it. And maybe that's because I was fortunate in having a good inheritance.
Yeah, and it really kind of is a matter of luck. I mean, we don't get to choose our family and our birthplace and our wealth, right?
Right.
But where do you think this whole magical element of Santa came from? Like, where do you think that?
Well, if he's going to get all over the world in one night, he's got to have a bit of magic. And so it comes from there, probably. Also, it's a part of the mystery. And it's something that people, all kinds of people, and all of us, I guess, at times would like some magic in our lives. You know, it would have been good if I hadn't got late getting here, but that's more me than magic. So it's, probably it's a bit of our wanting things without effort.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, there's another stool here, so most of you are not surprised there's another stool here. So we have another saint who's going to come and join us because, actually, we have two saints that are going to join us because they know something about wanting a bit of magic in their lives. And they also know something about the mystery of God and about the ability of God to do impossible things. So let's invite them into the space. I'm actually going to give up my chair.
I was wondering if one of them was to sit on my lap.
I think that's another story. Or maybe Santa does that. So we'd like to invite, actually, Mary and Elizabeth. Welcome, ladies. I'll sit here because you really want to look at them more than me anyway. We can talk.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, welcome in the first place. So glad that you're here. Nicholas and I were talking about, if you look behind you, how, you know, his image really changed from looking like the guy on the right to looking like the guy on the left. And, you know, through the ages that people have kind of latched onto the mystery and the magic and the wonder of Nicholas's good works and turned that into something else. I'm wondering if you can share with us what you know about the mystery and the magic and the impossibility of the things that God is able to do. Because I'm sure that you know something about that.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
I know that the magic of, for my life as Elizabeth, was the birth of my son. I was beyond childbearing years. I was an embarrassment to my family. My life back then was I had to, you know, serve my husband and be a very good wife, but I also was measured by the number of children you have and if you could bear children. Well, I couldn't bear children. So imagine my inner turmoil, knowing that the world was looking at me as though I was not equal to the other women in my society. It wasn't really fair. But my miracle came when, in my later years, I got to carry my child and deliver my child. And it was the miracle of birth.
Mm-hmm. How did that change you? How did it change your relationship with your husband and with the community? And how did it change you?
I think in my heart, I knew all along I was a good woman. I followed God's ways. And I was a hard-working woman. But then to be able to have a gift from God was probably the most enlightening thing in my life, to have this boy and that was healthy and grew up to be a wonderful man. It was incredible. And I actually, in my life, did it really matter what other people thought of me? Well, it's hard, but I knew in my soul where I was at.
And how about for you, Mary? What do you know about God, about the mystery of God and God's ability to do impossible things?
My story is fairly well known, and the big miracle is no secret, but I like to measure my story in the little miracles along the way. The miracle of the mule that carried me and that he didn't break down, and the miracle that they had a stable for me to stay in, and that there was hay to keep us warm. We could have found an inn that didn't have a stable. And the miracle that the birth went well, and the miracle that that Joseph didn't leave when he found out that I was a virgin and pregnant, and all those little miracles ultimately led into the big one that everyone talks about. But I think it's important to focus on the big picture and make sure that those little moments are not undermined by something so significant. Otherwise, the little pieces of life that bring you happiness along the way can be missed.
Mm-hmm. So, Nicholas, I'm wondering if you, well, I'm actually wondering all three of you, knowing what you know about the mystery and the miracle, and we've been talking a little bit about the magic of God in our lives, I'm wondering if you have some advice for us today, in the world we face and in the challenges we face?
I think I do. Don't wait for yourself to be involved in a big miracle. Don't wait to do something that becomes a big miracle in someone's life. But live your life showing forth the love of Christ and doing what you can to help other people, and leave the results to God. We get awful much, terribly mixed up by trying to compare ourselves to others. When we are a unique person of God's creation, and there are things that we do, can do every day that allows God's love and God's miracles to shine through.
I think you should take a look around, and as you walk around and see people in your judgmental, stop and think, you don't know their story. You don't know where they've come from. We don't know where they're going. But they have a story, and they're doing the best they can with what they have. And then the little miracles that they see and have in their lives can transform them as well as it can transform you.
I think, like Nick said, making sure that you walk around and take time to try to see the little miracles, and if you don't see one, maybe turn the mirror around and be one.
Is that copywritten?
That's yes, that's a good one, wasn't it?
Oh, it is now. Right.
And then lastly, I want to put you two ladies on the spot a little bit and just have you reflect about your children. So we know that John the Baptist was a great prophet. And we, of course, know all about Jesus' parables and miracles and his death and resurrection and his gift, the gift that the two of them were to the world. But I'm wondering if you could reflect for a moment, because you're smaller characters on that stage of history compared to your boys. And I'm wondering if you could just share with us something of the gift that it has been to you to watch them and to see their legacy and their life and their gifts to the world, what their lives mean to you as their mothers.
I think the opportunity to see this little one grow into the man that he became would be the greatest joy that any parent could ever aspire to see your little one, you know, require all the needs from you as a baby. And then they grow to a toddler. Now you got to keep everything out of his way because it all goes in his mouth. And then to a child who's inquisitive and asking questions, how do I guide him? How do I teach him? Will he believe what I tell him? And then to see him actually feel the Holy Spirit come down through him and feel what we have been feeling all our lives and how much we had longed for him to join us. And then to have him grow into such an incredible man, just the incredible pride and love and respect that you have for this child that you've raised.
I think that as a mother of Jesus is a big blessing and also has a heaviness. I try to think of myself as a mother, and everyone who has a child has a Jesus. And if you look at all of their milestones and miracles in the right light, everyone's accomplished the same height. So everyone has their own little bit of miracle every day, and if we stop, as Nick said, or Elizabeth said, comparing all of those measurements to each other, then we can all focus on our own little Jesus, and Jesus' sister and brother, and everyone has their own spirit and their own path to fulfill and can equal all of the greatness that my son did.
I have two sons of my own. Most people know that. And sometimes I say of them that their childhood was God's gift to me. Their babyhood and their childhood was God's gift to me because no one in the world remembers them the way that I do because I was their mother. And so I'm grateful to God that you two have that gift as well. And to mothers everywhere, that you treasure that gift in your heart always. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here.
I just have to tell the congregation, as just a little side note, that everyone knows me by Betty.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
My real name is Elizabeth Mary.
Oh, wow.
I just had to let you know. That's it.
Yeah. So your whole life has been leading to this moment.
Yeah, this is like my day. Yeah, it's all about me.
Very lovely. If you brought something with you that reminds you that God is with you or that reminds you of God, the fulfillment of God's promises to you, you're welcome to bring that up to the front during the hymn of the day, and the saints will bless whatever it is you've brought. Thank you all. Which means you have to stay here and pray.